Grab your reading. We'll do our reading and the liturgy that'll follow the reading after that, too. Our reading this evening is from John chapter 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were going together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciple came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen. We have another resurrection appearance from our Lord Jesus Christ, and his appearances always surprise me. They are not what I would do. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I'm not Jesus. He's a much better Jesus than I ever would be. But to have the disciples go out into the boat to catch nothing, then to, from a distance, yell out, have you caught anything? No. Try the other side. And they pull. In a huge catch of fish. John realizes it's Jesus on the shore. Simon Peter takes off and he goes swimming. And then Jesus, once they get onto the shore, what has he done for them? He's made them breakfast, right? Once again, we have a Lord who teaches and then who feeds. This is who Jesus is, and this is why we do what we do. That we have a Jesus who teaches, and then he feeds us. He's the one that's prepared the table for us. There's two miraculous catches of fish. So one is when Peter catches Simon first, and then he says, "Simon, you will no longer be a fisherman; you will be a fisher of
men."
This is before Jesus is kind of right at the beginning of his call into the ministry. This is now Jesus dead, raised up from the dead. Why the second one? Why a very, very similar thing? I mean, the same thing happens, right? They were out in the boat. They were trying. They caught nothing. Then at Jesus' words, they cast and they catch a ton. That's exactly the same thing that happens, one before the resurrection, about 3 years before Jesus even dies, and another right after the resurrection. Why the same thing? Why the same theme? He's still there?
He's still human. He's still showing that he does the same thing he did back then. He's still doing the same thing.
I'm the same Jesus, right? The one who caught you, and then who were the one who helped you catch fish, and then the one who helped you catch people. Now I'm still going to be the one who catches you, and the one who's going to help you catch fish, and the one who's going to help you catch people as well. You know, I heard one Lutheran pastor speak about it this way too, and it's the same thing in both of them. Jesus first catches the disciples, you know, or Jesus uses the catch of the fish to catch the disciples. And this becomes a huge theme throughout Christianity, that this hauling in of the fish is what the church is doing. Jesus is the one who catches, but the church is hauling it in. That's why there's so many different little kind of themes of being a ship, being a boat. That's what we pray in baptism. Keep us safe in the holy ark of the Christian church. We have Noah, who's kept safe in the ark, and we call this there's a nave term, right? Yes, Miss Shirley.
He calls Peter, he calls us also.
That's right.
So wouldn't you think that sort of reminds you of he catching us, we belong to him, and he feeds us every Sunday?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He makes us lunch.
He does.
Yeah.
He prepares all things for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And in that, again and again and again, he's catching us. He's dragging us. And so, I mean, even this little word, I think it's in verse 8, the other disciple came into the boat and they were dragging the net full of fish. That word dragging is that same word of Jesus when he says, "I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself." So this is what Jesus does first. He drags us to himself, and then he sends us out, and he uses us then to draw even more people into the church. People into the church. Jesus prepares. What do you think of verse 11? So on, you know, Wednesday morning, we were talking about some of these strange details that are in these things. And the details are there, and you're trying to figure out why the details are there. But so Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net shore, full of fish, 153 of them. He counted. I don't know. 150, not 152, not round about 150, not a bunch, right? But 153.
Is there a significance to that number?
So what it is the number 17, if you added all numbers up to 17, so like if you did 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus all the way up to 17, you would get 153. 17 is a significant number because it is the two holiest complete numbers in the Bible, and that is the number 7 and the number 10. So that's what I've heard. So what this is a complete picture. Jesus' church is full. You know, Jesus will say, there's not a single one that I've lost. You know, the elect are saved. Jesus has got them all too. So that's what I've heard. But that's not, you know, that's more than you knew, right?
Definitely more than
you knew. But, and so that's what I heard. And then, so then I got my calculator out and I added it and it is right. But plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way up to plus 17 is 153. So the complete number.
So what's the 10? 7, I know. What's the 10?
10 is another complete number. Okay. Yeah. It's a number, a full number. So 7 will be complete because it's the earthly number, 4, plus the Trinitarian number, 3. Yeah. But these are, I'm not a number guy, too. Revelation has a lot of numbers in them, too, but... Say what? Me? I lost Miss Pam. I kind of got lost too.
Yeah, because I know when we were studying Revelation, it was a lot of numbers, and it was a lot, you know, how it was formed, how the answer come to that,
right,
and everything. And it's just really, those numbers just don't.
It's a lot.
You just don't. Just don't seem like, I mean, you can't, I didn't care for it. It was just too many numbers.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's a
lot. Are those that important, though, all those numbers?
It's a great question. They are. In the Bible, there are some real significant uses of numbers. And I don't know if it, if it is right here. I mean, Revelation's a little kind of clear. 144,000 is the elect. It's very important we understand that not as a literal number, but as that's another way of saying the complete thing, because it's 12 times 12 times 12 times 10? Time 10? I don't know. I forget what it is. But it's another way of saying the complete thing, too.
144 times
10. Okay.
10 times 10 and 12 times 12.
That's right. That's right.
And you take an atom.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. What we don't do is we don't base our salvation on the numbers. We base our salvation on clear things. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else too? So I mean, you can kind of see. I think you can kind of maybe see what 153 is getting at. With the end of that verse, it says, although there were so many, the net was not torn. What would happen if the net tore? Some of the fish would be
lost.
Some of the fish would be lost. And Jesus is going to say, he's going to say a couple different times, there's not going to be a single one that I lose. You know, you're elect, you're saved, Jesus has you. You're in the Father's hand, no one can snatch you. No one can snatch you out of that hand. I think that's maybe the bigger picture.
And it's large fish too. It doesn't say that there were little ones in there. It's
right.
Full of large.
Large fish. Large fish.
And one other thing he said, you know, when he told them to come ashore, but he already had fish and bread on the fire.
Right.
And he said, bring some of your fish.
Bring some of your fish too.
And so, you know, they were coming to prepare some of it too, along with what he had already had.
Right.
So that's like, he's here, he has prepared it all, and you just bring somebody or someone with you.
You can bring some too.
Yeah. So it's not all up to me to have, you know, bring them.
Yeah.
You can bring them too.
Right. Right. You can bring some too. Yeah. He even accepts our fish, you know, even though he didn't need them, but he uses them. He accepts our time, talent, treasures, right? Anything else from this text? Beautiful one. So, both like that first catch of fish and this last catch of fish, you need to hear that they caught nothing until Jesus said, do this. You know, without Christ, when you go to work tomorrow, when you live your life tomorrow, throughout the rest of the week, you really are nothing. Your work would be in vain. It would be pointless. You should despair. But with Christ, there's hope. He's with you. You know, at his command, they catch fish. Not until then, you know, Christ is with them. Well, let's rise and let's pray. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Was this the first supper after he died and they came back alive?
No. It is, so there's the road to Emmaus where he's known to them in the breaking of bread and prayers. That is Easter afternoon or Easter morning.
He ate fish.
And then, I guess he doesn't know necessarily what they're doing. And then he appears to them at one other point in time and he says, "Have you got anything to eat?" And they give him some fish then too. Oh, so okay. Then he does it again.
Oh, okay.
So they ate a lot of fish back then.
They did. That's what I was telling Miss Shirley. That's what we had. I asked Kelly to make that too, and she did a great job for Easter meal. Fried fish. That's what Jesus had. We're going to have it too.
This was the third time that Jesus, so I'm thinking that was the third time that he ate.
Maybe the third time that he ate too. Yeah.
Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, have mercy, O Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Grant that we who have been raised with Jesus may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you once again teach us, and you have fed us Sunday, and you will feed us again. Grant that this might always drag us closer to you, draw us nearer to you, that we might recognize you as our Lord and our Savior. Hear us now, coming to you, knowing that you are present and here. Hear us as we pray for the whole church, for our brothers and sisters of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, especially in our circuit, for our families, communities, places of work, government, and all those that we now name with hearts and voices.
Your poor family.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
So real quick, and it hit me as I was praying, so maybe it was the Holy Spirit. Here's what I could also say for sure, 153. Jesus counts by ones. You know, so we're gathered here this evening, and he's not just saying, hey, a bunch of Christians are here. He's saying, you know, 153. So that's what I think, too. Does that make a little more sense? Individuals, specifics.
It's a bag of goodies back there. Somebody wants something out of the bag. Please give it out there.
Where is
that? Back there in the north. It was some squash over there in the fellowship hall. I don't know if I'm still open yet.